This is Central Time. Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers delivered his annual address to the state legislature yesterday with a political backstory behind it and a critical message directed at the governor and lawmakers.
On school funding, we must face the reality that for too many budget cycles, public school funding has not been a priority of those in control.
Also this week, Governor Walker signed the state budget into law after making 99 vetoes.
It allows us to protect public safety and public health while still protecting the local taxpayer. It invests big time in the student success for all of you. It invests for all of our citizens in being more digitally connected here and across the state. It invests in our roads and in our bridges.
Laurel White joins us now for our weekly review of Wisconsin news. She's WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Tony Evers, his annual State of Education address yesterday. This one was a little different because he's running for governor in a growing Democratic primary field. Did that make the speech a little different than it was in past years?
It did. So he hit on a theme that he has consistently as superintendent of schools. He's been superintendent since 2009. He talked about needing more money for K-12 education in Wisconsin. That's a consistent message for him. He's advocated for a new funding formula for Wisconsin schools. We heard that clip that you guys played at the top of the segment there where he's saying that it just hasn't been a priority for lawmakers. And he talked about some of the referendums that have passed in communities across Wisconsin to raise property taxes to get more money for schools. So that's something that we kind of expected him to do. There were a couple things, though, that were a little bit more political, perhaps indications or symptoms maybe of him running as a Democrat for governor. He announced that earlier this summer. He talked about the state transportation budget, and he talked about how he thinks that there's too much borrowing in the transportation budget that puts too much of a burden on future generations. And he pushed for a new revenue source for Wisconsin roads, which is something that was, of course, a big sticking point in the ongoing transportation debate. And he said after the speech that he would support, if he were elected governor, something like a gas tax increase to get more money for roads. And he tied it to education, saying, you know, if we have a new source of revenue for roads, we don't have to shift money away from schools to pay for roads. So there were certainly some political elements to his speech this year that weren't necessarily there in the past.
Now, Governor Walker has talked about restoring a good chunk of money to education in the state. What did Superintendent Evers say about the state budget and its education funding levels?
Mm-hmm. Well, the governor signed into law yesterday a $636 million funding increase for K-12 schools in Wisconsin. So he's calling that a historic investment in schools. And essentially what Superintendent Evers said was, it's not enough. I think in remarks after the speech, when he was speaking with reporters, he said, we're essentially treading water in the state of Wisconsin. We're not keeping up with our peers in the Midwest and states across the country in terms of how much money we're investing into education and how much that money is growing year over year.
And with Superintendent Evers talking about changing the school funding formula, I mean, I think it's fair to say, probably the most complicated part of state government in Wisconsin is the mm-hmm. way schools are funded. This is not something that's quick and easy to explain maybe at a campaign stop.
No, it's certainly not. I think it's one of the most complicated things. And Evers, interestingly, talked a little bit about how more community members and people across Wisconsin are learning more about that funding formula as they pass these referendums to raise their own property taxes to pay for schools. So he said that that's a knowledge that's increasing across Wisconsin. So maybe he's optimistic about making that a big part of his message as a Democrat running for governor.
We've already touched on Governor Walker's budget signing earlier this week. Let's dig a little further into that. Laurel White's with us, WPR State Capitol reporter. Governor Walker issued 99 vetoes in this budget. Has there been any reaction to some of the bigger changes he made?
Well, how long do we have?
99's a lot, yeah.
99's a lot, and there's been a lot of reaction. So I think the big one, Rob, is the the limit on revenue for schools, kind of sticking with the school subject, the governor vetoed something that was really important, particularly to Assembly Republicans, and that was lifting a revenue limit for low-spending schools in Wisconsin.
And what does that mean exactly? Again, school funding, complicated. What kind of schools are affected by that?
So these are schools, I think it's about 200 districts across the state of Wisconsin. That's a number from Representative John Nygren, who's co-chair of the Finance Committee, spend less than the state average on per pupil. So that makes them a low spending school. And what this legislation, what this piece of the budget would have done, would have lifted a state cap on spending specifically for those schools. So the state cap right now per pupil by law is $9,100. And you can go over that if you pass a referendum in your community. But if you don't, you're held to that amount. In the budget, it would have lifted that cap from $9,100 gradually, I believe, to $9,400 over the course of the budget and then beyond, even higher, in kind of a stair step. And proponents of that plan said it would equalize funding across communities in Wisconsin. They say that there are some districts that are spending quite a bit more than others per pupil, and that lifting the cap would kind of help even the playing field for all students in the state.
We're talking to WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, looking at some of the top stories in Wisconsin news.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What issues have you been watching in the state budget? What were you hoping to see when it comes to transportation and also school funding? And what do you think of Wisconsin's right to work law? You can call us at 800-642-1234.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we continue our conversation right now with Laurel White, looking at the week in Wisconsin news.
And Laurel, wrapping up on the budget and the budget vetoes, we were talking about those low-spending schools. You mentioned what supporters were saying about why they wanted that extra funding in the budget. What was the case Governor Walker made for vetoing that?
Well, basically what the governor said about that veto was several school districts that would have been affected by that, the low-spending school districts, had tried to pass referendums in recent years to raise more money from property taxes, and those referendums hadn't passed. So the governor says that it should really be a matter of voter input, the property tax increases for schools. And so he says, you know, I welcome communities across the state to have referendums if they want to do so. But if this had remained in the budget, it would have raised property taxes for some communities without their consent. And property taxes were very important to the governor in this budget. So he zeroed out that item.
Moving on from the budget, Laurel, a right-to-work court ruling in a Wisconsin appeals court upheld a Wisconsin's right-to-work law. Good news there for Governor Walker and other supporters of that legislation. What was involved in this court case?
So this was a ruling by the state's Third District Court of Appeals, and it overturned, actually, a Dane County judge's ruling from last year. And essentially, the case was about unions being compelled to represent members who don't pay dues. So the unions, the right to work law, for those who aren't familiar, it bars mandatory dues at private sector businesses. So unions say, if we can't require people to pay dues, but we still have to represent them in negotiations and doing the things that we do, essentially we're providing a free service, and that's unconstitutional. So last year, the Dane County judge said, that's a good argument, unions, I agree with you. The case was appealed, and the Third District Court of Appeals overturned the Dane County judge's ruling this week and said unions didn't have a valid argument in their decision. They actually said, quote, the unions have no constitutional entitlement to the fees of non-member employees. So this was definitely an important development in the right to work debate, which has been ongoing since the law was signed in 2015.
And do we know if there's going to be an appeal on this one?
I think it's probably safe to say that there will be an appeal on this one, and that the court battle will continue, potentially, you know, up to the state Supreme Court.
And probably, given the makeup of the court, I would imagine that most people would expect that the state Supreme Court would uphold the right to work law.
That's right. I mean, the state Supreme Court has a 5-2 conservative majority. So I think that folks imagine if it gets to the Supreme Court, the right to work law will be upheld there. And we did, interestingly, get some feedback from both the governor and the state attorney general this week after this ruling was issued. And they said that they both obviously still stand behind the law and its constitutionality.
And then in the legislature, Gordon Hintz is now the new assembly minority leader for the Democrats. Had anybody else put their name in the hat for that position?
Nope. It was just Gordon Hintz, who's from Oshkosh, running to replace Democrat Peter Barca of Kenosha, who's been the minority leader for Democrats in the assembly since 2011.
And what has Gordon Hintz said about his agenda for basically a powerless group of Democrats? They've got a minority. They're not really even close there right now.
They do. Yeah. So Democrats are, their number is 35 to the 64 Republicans in the state assembly. So they have a very small minority in that legislative body. It's the smallest it's been, I think, since the 1950s. So Hintz has his work cut out for him, really. He's leading that group now, and he says he's really going to be focused on having a clear message from the Assembly Democratic Caucus, clear priorities, and a kind of unity, I think, was another big point, you know, presenting a unified, clear, consistent message to the people of Wisconsin about what Democrats can do for them.
And Laurel, as we wrap up, there's been so much talk about the budget lately and Foxconn. Those are now done as far as the legislature's role in them. What do you see coming out as priorities now that those are out of the way?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to keep an eye on what was vetoed out of the state budget that might reappear as standalone legislation. That's something that the governor actually mentioned in his veto message for a piece of the budget that was about local regulation of quarries. He said he vetoed that because he thinks it should be its own bill and go through the legislative process. So we'll certainly be keeping an eye out for that in particular. There are, of course, some other bills that we have our eye on. I know I spoke with you guys earlier this week about the concealed carry changes in the state of Wisconsin. So we've got an eye on that, and we're expecting both the Senate and the Assembly to come back in late October to hit the floor and pass some more bills.
Laurel, thanks. Good to talk to you again.
Yep. Thanks, Rob.
That's WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White rounding up the top stories in Wisconsin news.